we can go ahead and call RMCSD Community Security Committee meeting to order. Comments from the public? No comments? Okay. Monthly updates. Jeff?
I'll save that for the end of the comments.
All right.
Where's my memo?
There you go.
I probably buried it in this paperwork.
I have it here.
Yeah.
Second page.
Month of December. Nothing real exciting. Holidays were pretty mellow. Some of the things we talked about in the past and we've started to move forward on is looking at with our camera vendor. A couple things. One is getting estimates, which we have preliminary estimates in hand now, on expanding the memory for the video retention at both gates. Currently, depending on which, it varies by camera. More active cameras obviously record more data, which takes up more room. But an average retention is about 30 days, maybe 45, before the
currently.
Video is, re-recorded over. So we're looking at some options. I think the bid was a 6-month retention and maybe a year, certainly much longer than 30 to 45 days. So we got a couple different options and estimates regarding that. And that's system-wide, both gates, all cameras. The other thing we looked at was under development, developer fees coming in out of the new homes is the one thing that's on the top of our list is installing a camera that faces the entrance to the Murrieta Village.
Mm-hmm.
And we have an estimate on that. The developer had set aside the streetlight pole that is right across the street from their main entrance to the village. And it was supposed to have been pre-wired. The report I got from our camera vendor is he's not finding anything in there that indicates that it was, so that's something that we would have to explore later. So part of the bid we got on that system is an alternate placement of the camera using streetlight that's on the village property itself, but still covers the intersection.
Mm-hmm.
So two different options for that. If we can access internet, it would be a wired system into monitors at the north gate. Otherwise, it potentially would be a wireless system that would beam the signal to the north gate.
Mm-hmm.
So those are two things that we've just recently started moving forward on.
Backing up to the storage capacity in new camera storage system, is there any statutory requirements for retention of video?
Right now it defaults under the district's policy.
Okay.
And I think that may have to be something that we'd have to maybe have legal look at, because if we're going to retain it as a matter of an investigation, then yes.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. If it's just ongoing 24/7 recording, much like the cameras in this building, there's no need to retain it.
Okay. These numbers we're seeing, as far as estimates, are in the tens of thousands of dollars.
Yeah, it's very expensive.
It is not. We're talking
not
like a dozen terabytes of
wow.
information.
Okay.
So we're looking at alternative, a one-year backup for footage of all footage in North and South Gate is $42,000.
Wow.
And this is kind of what we were expecting, because
yeah.
as we said, data video is extremely video intensive.
Right.
So then the question and this is just preliminary
mm-hmm.
that we've gotten. So then it's,
right.
is there an alternative that's more cost effective?
Right.
Such as rather than having
cloud
live
news.
Backup, can you
selective?
Can you selectively back up to
right.
some service and have it be more cost effective?
So we'll have
that
a,
way.
Yes, Tom.
Casinos don't even keep that long.
Yeah.
That data that long.
Yeah.
It's usually 30 days in the money areas, or 60
yeah.
days in money areas, and 6 months
mm.
on grounds for liability reasons.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
You know, slip and falls and stuff like that.
Yeah, so I think a year is like.
Yeah, and you have some
yeah.
background in that.
Nevada and California. I was a surveillance agent in both.
Oh, okay. So that's good feedback.
Resource.
Yeah. Well, it might have changed now, but this was 20 before I worked for Caribbean.
Right, yeah. But you have some. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So you understand.
So a year is like really overdone.
Yeah, I think 6 months is, and, you know, just looking at those costs.
Yeah.
I suspected a year would be overkill, and that 6 months is probably reasonable. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe farthest extent we'd want to go with. Absolutely. But even with 6 months, if there's a way that we can selectively upload certain feeds, we could even certain feeds is because we, you know, certain aspects we may not, certain
right.
shots.
Right, there's certain cameras that we probably
selective.
Would want longer than others.
Yes.
Selective.
So we need some work, more work on our side to
kind these of come up
with. Well, and I also think what we need is RMA input on their desires, because it's mostly, you know, it's RMA facility or RMA access, and so having some dialogue with RMA and the board and or compliance committee about what desires are, what the best approach is.
If they're in a public area, you know, in a neutral area, there's a liability big issue for if there's an accident or something, and they're going to look at you guys way harder.
Yeah.
So get the video evidence.
Our other go ahead.
No, so I was going to say, I suggest that it might be either a topic of joint security or a special meeting with CSD security and RMA and or board and or compliance to have a discussion about what the desires are, what the best route would be, and then go from there. No use going overboard. Certainly, because it's very costly, you know. So let's have a discussion about the adequacy.
The other part of that, and that's what I was trying to get at, was the software that we're using. You know, we talked about how at times it can be really, you know, you go to try to skip through the video and it gives you the blue screen rather than seeing the video and all
the
that.
The answer I got to that, I tried to explain some of my experiences with that.
Yeah.
The answer I was given is the blue screen means there's nothing there.
That's recorded on that spot.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yes. It's a blank spot in the
just
recording.
Just happened in that slider.
Because the cameras, all our cameras.
Software then that doesn't slide you to a blank spot.
I did. Yeah.
I don't know.
I didn't want to belabor the point. I just wanted to, you know, indicate that there's probably more discussion necessary, and as long as it's not a pending issue, a significant concern, let's just have a discussion about it and come to a conclusion of what's the best approach.
And so we'll work more to kind of land on options that are cost effective and reasonable and all that, and then at that point,
again, recognizing that we are on a restricted budget because of the lack of ability to increase a special tax more than 2% a year. So, okay, sorry, Chief, I didn't mean to.
No. I have a question about the Urieta Village camera.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. The first thing I heard about that was some mention of it at the last board meeting. Can you tell me what the story is there? Because I haven't heard anything about it.
This has been a discussion for maybe 2 years?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, between us and Barb. When the development across the street, the new homes, was first approved and public started realizing there was going to be homes, increased traffic, increased access to the area. So it became a concern of people that don't belong entering onto the village property.
Right.
And different options to monitor that. One, of course, was to put your own gate in with a code, barcode, whatever you guys decided to do, and that would restrict access to vehicles. But I guess that there was some cost involved with that for the village. They had looked into some pricing on that.
And everybody has to vote on it.
Correct, because you're going to be spending your monies to buy this gate and system, because you'd need two gates, one in, one out.
Well, I think they have to have a unanimous vote.
Right, but what I mean is there was a lot of expense to it because you're putting in a system, you're going to have two gates and things like that. And another option was, because we were talking about expanding our camera capabilities throughout the district, and there's discussion with expanding camera capabilities with RMA through the park systems, that it came up of us expanding and having a camera that shines and focuses on the entrance so that it's not going to prevent unauthorized people, but we would have the capability for surveillance or to monitor or go back and look at a video. The bid we have is it's four cameras total. The two cameras.
Four cameras for the village?
At the entrance, correct. Two of them are up high that cover entrance, cover the roadway, Marietta Drive, and the entrance and exit to the village. And then two lower cameras are focused on capturing license plates. So if there, something did happen, we would be able to go back, just like at the gates, and try to recover footage and see who may have been involved. So this has been a discussion, but now that the homes are being built and people are moving in and developer, it was all to be paid out of developer impact fees. Those fees are starting to come in, so we've moved forward and got an estimate now.
Okay. Has anybody besides Barrett had input into this?
Not really.
No,
it's good. I don't know how you feel. That would if be somebody set up a camera pointing at your front door and you find out about it,
yeah,
I think you'd be a little concerned. And nobody's
told me. That's been that up that's with been your association.
The association, you might want to discuss that with them.
Well,
they have advocated for that for quite a long while publicly too.
Yeah.
So that means that they have, you know, they probably need to communicate with their membership.
Okay.
It's a good point that you have.
But
really, it was seen as a benefit for the for that community, and it really it wasn't even just the 78 homes. It also is all the new commercial development and the extra traffic that was expected there in that area.
Yeah. Okay. I do have concerns that probably everybody in the village would be in favor of, but I do have concerns.
Well, you'd have to
communications and like
just so you'd have to reach a consensus with the or raise the issue with your HOA.
Well, another thing is, you know, why the HOA, Barb represents the homeowners association, which isn't identical with the interests of the residents and owners there.
Yeah, it's the stakeholder entity we interface with. But you know, anybody as a resident
public
in the district is able to come to
comment.
You know, here at our board meetings.
Mm-hmm.
But I would recommend also
kind
of having that discussion with them too, so that if there is a difference of opinion, it's good to let your board know that too.
Well, and if you have some kind of a notification system, communication, a newsletter or anything like that internally, have that brought up so that the rest of the residents are aware of it.
Well, they're not too good at communication. Other questions. What is John Sullivan's role in this? Does he have any control of it, ownership of it?
No, it's the money's paid to the district.
Impact
and
fees.
Okay. And then it goes to security to, like in this case, camera system.
Okay.
It's up to us. They had offered as the development to pre-wire that pole.
Okay.
But like I said, we have to, the report I got may not have been done, so I'm not sure
yet.
You
just have to ask that question of the
contractor.
Yeah, we can,
I mean, we'll, as this project moves forward, if it goes to that, we'll have them look at the poll and correct it, but no.
Okay.
There is access to the video too.
Just CSD.
Just CSD.
Very, very limited CSD staff.
Right.
I have access. The chief has access, and that's about it. It is not a.
I was going to ask how long is it retained? Like,
well, it's again.
And the answer to that is variable, right?
And
depending on how much movement occurs, because it's movement activated and stored, so that it's actually variable. I'd love to give a specific time, but that's why some of the concerns and what triggered all this is that we've had video that once the system determines it needs more hard drive space, it starts to delete the oldest videos.
Which
and
knows.
People have asked, well, when at what point does that happen? At the point where it needs more space is the answer, because it's variable. It's very extremely variable. Yeah. So sometimes it's multiple months, sometimes it's 2.5 months.
All right.
And you have written policies that pertain to these videos and things like that?
Our security policies,
part of
access,
it
retention, and
retention and access. Again, it's probably loosely worded, but it would be the same as RMA. You know, I mean, I don't think we have any other distinct policies for the village, so...
No, if the camera's operated, if the camera's operated by the district, regardless of where the physical location is, it comes under our policies.
Right.
The system's locked down. I'm the only one that accesses and duplicates video. Mm-hmm. I don't have access to delete video. That's automatic in the system. But if I need to retain an incident, I have access to copy that and retain it in a separate file. And then once we do that, it falls under our video retention policy of the district. I follow the same policy as that's in our body cam policy as far as retention, which is kind of under the government code, is if it's evidentiary or personnel investigated related, we got to keep it for 2 years. If it's an incident that may need to be retained, it's a 1 year. Okay. Other than that, there's no retention on it. It just, like you said, gets recorded over because it's just routine camera footage. Okay. But like you said, some of our cameras run 24 hours a day almost because there's always motion. Okay. And others go to sleep for a period of time. Mm-hmm. And so it varies.
Okay. So it's not a pending issue. It's an issue that is under consideration.
Okay. So it... What is the policy on the?
On the.
What's under consideration?
The camera.
Oh, okay.
Right.
The camera.
We had it set aside from impact fees. It's been a discussion item with the HOA, and it's an ongoing discussion.
Okay, I was under the impression, almost like it had been decided, something like that. Well, but it's not.
Well, I think that the input from the HOA representative was that yes, we want to do it, and so that's what. I mean, what we're going back and saying now is if there are any other community input, then that should be heard at this time. And then, the HOA needs to confirm and confirm the process.
It's a recognition that, the concern has been that RMA gets the host of all the services and, interest of, that's been a something voiced in the past. And it's a recognition that the villages is part of the responsibilities of the district to give them some recognition that in our looking at priorities for new infrastructure to consider the village, the concerns of the village. That's what we're
doing. If you compare it to RMA, all the entrances have cameras, but there's nothing at your place. So this is an opportunity now to expand that and provide camera system.
It also gives a view of those accessing the airport and the back end in Camtova and all that. So there's other benefits to it, not just...
It covers the intersection. It's not focusing on your property per se. It's set up to cover the intersection.
Okay.
Is there going to be a camera shooting down Pancho Conde Circle?
No.
Oh,
okay.
Just
but I will put a wireless one in your front yard.
Are you messing with me? Okay.
All right. Moving on then. Thank you.
Was that it, Les?
Incidents of note? Did you want to cover your last paragraph?
Just a couple more
spoke?
Updates. Okay, yeah. We received the most current copies, which... of CCNRs and rules from RMA, which we did have on file, but I redistributed fresh new copies to the gates and to patrol.
And just a very quick sub-note on that, that would still require ongoing and proactive communication between RMA and CSD security, RMA compliance, CSD security on the topics of priorities for enforcement. Okay.
If you recall, at the last board meeting, we had a resident address the board about a complaint that he had filed with the district and wanted to make sure it was handled and investigated. Just a note, it was. We had received his complaint in writing. I looked into it and responded back to him in writing, and the letter was sent to his home address. And I haven't heard anything back, so I assume it's been resolved.
Okay.
New Year's Eve, uneventful. Country Club had about 300 people in attendance. Our officers made several walkthroughs and reported no issues or problems at the country club with the crowd in attendance or anything going on there. So it's apparently a fun night, but no issues. Everybody behaved.
Okay.
The one incident note, it's a little detailed, but on incidents like this, I tend to summarize in detail for a couple reasons. A, so that board members are aware of what occurred, because many times residents will see or hear something and eventually it gets back to a board member asking questions about, hey, what was this I heard, or what was this I saw, or what was this I saw on the paper, things like that. So provide some information. But I think it's also important that the community realize what our officers do deal with. And
important issue.
You know, they do more than write tickets and go to parking dog calls. At 4 o'clock in the morning, there's one officer on duty. Yes, we work independent, but he's solo, and we do come across people at 4 o'clock in the morning that are perhaps not behaving the best they should, or in this case was severely intoxicated behind the wheel of a motor vehicle. And in this instance, our officer used good judgment, restraint. Nobody was hurt. And he actually was commended by a resident who watched the entire episode for 40 minutes. And essentially it was a lady saw a vehicle parked in front of her house 4 o'clock in the morning, and the driver passed out behind the wheel. Now, quite frankly, the officer's approach could have been just to right away call CHP, and had the guy arrested, he probably would have been arrested for DUI by CHP. But he chose to, saw there was a young man, a resident, find him a ride home, called mom. Mom came down. Many discussions and arguments between son and mom to get him in her car and go home, and he refused. Turned into him getting out of the car, threatening to kill my officer. Said, I know your face, I know your name, I'm gonna kill you. I'm not going home, I'm leaving, and he tried to leave. You know, at this point, he's so intoxicated, he can't care for himself, he's not gonna make good choices, he's gonna get hurt, who knows where he's gonna go or what he's gonna do. We're certainly not gonna let him get back in the car. He took a swing at the officer, and the officer used restrained him, had to call for backup from SSD. It took them 20 minutes to get there, rolling with lights and sirens. So the whole time he's on the ground struggling with this guy, but holding him down. And even after all that, the officer decided he wasn't going to press charges for assault or the threats. He just said, you know what, I'll chalk it up to him being drunk. And the sheriff's department arrested him for drunk in public. the family apologized to the officer. Sorry, my nose is running. For their son's behavior. And the next morning I got a call from the resident who called it in initially and witnessed the whole thing, and she wanted to make sure that I understood the officer used good judgment, very professional, very patient, was restrained in his measures and what he did and how he handled the situation, and she thought he was very professional and she actually commended him. So it's important the community understand that, no, this doesn't happen a lot, but our officers do face dangerous situations, people, potentially violent, could be violent. I still recall the guy 2 years ago now swinging the machete around at the country store at 11 o'clock at night. Mm-hmm. That the first people got called was us, and then the sheriff. So it does happen, and it, of course, it was a residence behind the gate. But we had another incident the night of January 1st. It'll carry over to next month's report, but just to illustrate again, potential violent encounter, drunk driver passed out at the wheel, the officer made contact with him, the guy took off. Racing through the north community, over 50 miles an hour, running stop signs all over the road. All the officer could do was follow taillights in the distance, eventually found the car. Thank God he didn't crash or hit anything, because the way the driving was described to me, it was pretty bad. Got the driver to hand the keys over, held him until CHP got there. Once CHP got there, they administered, he was so drunk he couldn't blow on the portable breathalyzer. That's how bad this guy was. So again, I thank God nothing happened. He didn't cause an accident on the north end. But once CHP went to arrest him, he fought those officers. So our guys weren't involved in this one. He decided to fight the highway patrol officers. So I just highlight incidents like this a little more detail because it's important that people understand that our officers do more than, like I said, write tickets and do barking dogs. We do encounter people. We do handle situations that could potentially, like this one, in an instant, became physical and potentially could have been worse.
And I think those are highlighted comments, could potentially. And the question that comes to my mind is, should we consider policies of early notification of sheriff and or CHP of a potential issue so that they might be able to position patrol that could respond a little bit quicker? And so it's just something to consider. I had a couple of discussions, questions with former law enforcement and sheriff's officers here deputies here in the community asking about this particular issue that's in your report, and just, you know, concerned over the welfare of the responding officer. But you know, maybe there's something that we can do to provide an initial contact to sheriff and CHP. I mean, RMA residents pay taxes, and part of those taxes are targeted towards law enforcement. And there should be an ability to at least get a quicker response. So, just my comments.
I'd say generally speaking, that does happen with our people.
Okay.
I think in this instance, because mom showed up,
yeah,
the officer was hopeful that he would just get in the car and go home.
Yeah.
But it quickly turned
okay
into something that I don't think he was anticipating.
Okay, I didn't want to belabor it. I just wanted to make that comment or observation. Okay.
And
anything else on your update? Compliance committee?
No, that was it. This, I'm just adding it for discussion. It's unfortunate that people don't call us and they just put stuff on Facebook or other social media sites. Your neighborhood down at the South Beach. Illegal dumping. Somebody dumped a whole truckload of debris.
Construction. Looks like
they did some cleanup or dismantling or something, demolition, down at the river. And they just took pictures and posted it on social media, and a resident forwarded it to me. So
it goes on in the whole community.
Huh?
That social media stuff goes on through the whole community, negative or positive.
No, I know. What I'm saying is this is a dumping at the South Beach.
Yeah.
And nobody called us when it happened or shortly after. So we did go out there and rummage through the trash. Just I'm going to say about because sometimes people are dumb and they have
leave receipts,
old bills or receipts or something in there with their home address and name, or they drop their wallet and leave their driver's, you know, things like that happen. So we did go out and rummage around, hopefully trying to find some place to blame it or pin it to, and no luck. So RMA maintenance was notified. And I'm sure they've gone out there by now and cleaned it up. So
maybe an issue of when those things become known to the people on RMA compliance and or CSD, that there's joint coordination of what the response should be, what's needed. Again, it requires the joint communication between compliance and CSD security.
Yeah, we did that first thing on Monday morning. We found out about it.
Okay.
Yeah, I think that can be confusing. Who do you call? And I noticed some graffiti once, and I didn't call CSD. I mean, mm-hmm. I don't know why, but I didn't.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's a problem. What's the cause of it?
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Most times it just makes us aware that it's going on in case it starts to develop a pattern. We can just keep an eye on the neighborhood. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's really what it does, is just let us know about it if we're not already aware. So I think that's it for updates.
Okay. monthly meeting with RMA compliance staff canceled?
It's just moving forward until personnel change or addition of staff or whatever
Okay.
RMA's going on. We're just doing it through email.
Yep. Okay. And then any mention of the Joint Security Committee meeting?
I sent the email out, right, which I'm sure you got your...
Right, actually, I'm raising it for an issue of discussion.
Yeah. Right. Oh. So I've had only a couple responses back saying okay and maybe a couple topic items for discussion. Mm-hmm. Certainly not heard from everybody that was emailed, and mm-hmm. only one comment on date, which is pretty much available whenever. Mm-hmm. No other suggestions on date, so that's something we can determine in the future when okay. hopefully I get some more responses back.
Okay. My point is that it's been in this limbo for some time now, and so CSD's efforts to try to move it forward is recognition of that limbo status, and so proactive participation is strongly requested. And if it doesn't, it can be a couple of meetings, because there are separate focused interests inside the gates and outside the gates, and we just want to make sure that if that has to be two separate meetings, then that's fine with me. All right. And then, a subcomponent of that is, have we ever received Murrieta Village HOA CC&Rs?
No.
Okay. So we ought to find out what security desires are over there. Okay.
Do you have anything to do with the village's CC&Rs?
No, but if we were to enforce anything, we would have to have some type of CC&Rs related okay. to security-related items mm-hmm. that even allow us to write a citation to it. So in okay. the RMA area, we don't write citations for things that don't exist within right. their CC&Rs.
Mm-hmm. But at this point, you're really not doing anything. At
we would. We are. We did patrol.
Oh, I mean, patrol, but you're not enforcing
it. Right now. So that would have to be implemented. Likewise, there'd have to be an agreement right. to implement, and there'd mm-hmm. have to okay. be those CC&Rs yeah. that we would follow, right. specific to the items that patrol would actually right. be involved with.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you, Chief.
Mm-hmm. Well, and just on the Joint Security Committee, making sure that we have all the right parties contacted too. So we'll create a running list. Cool. Amelia's really good at creating mail lists and contact lists and things mm-hmm. like that. So, again, we're always looking at it. It may not be the same person sitting in that role. We want to make sure that knowledge gets transferred, as mm-hmm. staff move
changes,
along and
right.
things like
mm-hmm.
that. So we'll make a list that describes, not by name the individuals, but the position of the individual that will participate in various committees, not just Joint Security, everything
right.
that we do
mm-hmm.
to make sure that transition is really smooth.
Good.
Did you get the email, Tom?
Yeah.
Now, is yeah. that address the email? Do you have an RMA address at all?
No, I thought I'm not staff. So I went and...
Well, I thought they gave board members. Like, we give our board members CSD emails to communicate.
No, we, okay. we just use our own email address.
Okay.
Yeah, I thought
all
they
right.
did, too.
Thank you.
I'm waiting for Cheryl to figure out what's the good time, and we're both going to get back to something.
Okay. All right. Okay. And we've informed Denise also.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Country Club?
Yep.
Yes.
Country Club
mm-hmm.
also.
Okay.
Everybody.
Good.
Okay. Moving on then to RMA violation check sheet and CSD violation.
Yeah, the reports are in there.
Only one thing to note, and again, it's coordination with RMA on the numbers. Again, I think it's probably due to an overlap of a difference of time periods and reporting periods. I mm-hmm. note that CSD has, as an example, CSD has 16 stop sign citations issued in December. And RMA listing reports two total citations by CSD. And I have a feeling we're a month off because of the timing of the reporting times.
There's actually okay. more now.
There, okay, that's
okay. A, yeah, the cutoff between the
you're
committee
right. okay.
and our reporting, it's about a week or two off, so mm-hmm. their numbers get carried over to the next month.
Right.
But again, with staff issues at RMA or what have you, the tickets used to be picked up from us daily, so they were processed sooner. And Monday, the tickets were just picked up, and there were tickets in there from second week of December. Mm-hmm. So there's going to be some more. I think the numbers are going to be off more now because of delays in processing and what have you.
But I think it's just important when we're putting out these this information and there's these discrepancies in there, it's just a good idea to have an understanding of, you know, the reasons why. Right. And there are reasons
why.
Is
that because of holiday and staff issues or something like that? They weren't picked up? They're supposed to be picked up every day, correct?
Well, yes, the compliance officer used to come every day, and Denise stopped that. So you'd have to ask her about that.
I don't know. How do you know that?
I was told that.
So who's picking them up then?
The last two times it's been April. April was here on Monday.
And we've offered to, you know, if it would help, we've offered to deliver them.
Right.
To have our security sergeant deliver them on a daily basis.
That's and that was
patrol.
That helps. Mm-hmm. So,
and that.
Okay, I'll look into this.
Yep.
If it helps out, you know, especially as you're short, it's not a problem.
Yeah, it's a collaborative effort.
Yeah.
Okay. okay, then anything else on that portion of the report?
No, sir.
Okay, I think that explanation covers my next comment, and that was the issue of, not quite. The last issue I had, let's see. August, a minute. I got to go down something. On the numbers reported from RMA compliance on citations unable to be processed. We don't need to deal with the reasons right now, but I think it would be a good idea to make sure that we have a good communication between RMA Compliance Committee and CSD on what exactly were the issues that caused citations to be unable to be processed.
So I get, typically I'll get the last few times is an email with a copy and then a note written as to what.
Okay, good. So that,
you know,
is
the reason
that communication is happening. Okay, great. With the idea of being able to rectify some of those things for future issues. Okay, any other questions, comments on that? Item number A4 then.
Okay, so project that's been in the works for a bit is converting our operations both in dispatch and patrol to new computer-based programming. So the over the last several months we went from getting board approval in the fiscal year to entering into a contract agreement with ABDI to implement a computer-based dispatching program as well as a officer patrol software program, which also includes not using laptops anymore, but moving into an iPad-based system, which is portable. So we had a target date of trying to go online December. And for the most part, we met that. We had a couple delays, one from the vendor at ABDI doing some programming and changes. The second one was from vendors getting our equipment delivered. So part of that was installation equipment for the vehicles. By beginning of December, I started doing some programming and messing around with it myself and had to do some program tailoring to our needs. Training manuals were distributed, and by mid-December the dispatcher started practicing on it and messing around with it, seeing how it works, what they can do with it, and at this point we had holiday season coming in, both Christmas and New Year's, but during that period I had lost my administrative rights. Somehow they just disappeared, so I couldn't get into the system to do any programming or do anything more, And I think the delay from ABDI was their holidays, because they got back to me the Monday after the 1st and restored those privileges. But nonetheless, that whatever I needed to do wasn't going to be critical to hold the project. So we went ahead and did a soft rollout towards the end of December, where dispatchers were utilizing the program to dispatch, but not the iPads. We were still waiting on some last pieces of equipment. And I told staff that New Year's Eve, so at midnight, January 1st, we go live. And we did. And it was easy to start on the 1st because this system now automatically numbers our case numbers. Mm-hmm. Where in the past we had to do it by hand and they were always getting messed up. Mm-hmm. So this prevents that issue of starting out January 1st with a brand new case number. We'll then be on course for the whole year. So as of the 1st, we've been using the program. All the calls are generated by computer. And then it will arrive on the officer's iPad and they can read the details of the call. Plus they can do other self functions on it. Couple things. This now is what, for example, and I'm not going to distribute this because it has information, but just to show, this is what a call printout looks would look like now. Mm-hmm. You can go in and click on the call. It'll pull up a map of the area of the location. It'll have all the details and notes if the officer puts any notes in the call. The second thing is we went from the really no activity log other than everything written on paper in hand to now being generated by the computer. So, for example, this is an activity log that goes from midnight on the 2nd. It should be for 24 hours, but it's now 11 pages long. Mm-hmm. So we have much better tracking of incidents and details that the officers are doing, as opposed to before where they were written by hand and on a card and you know, all the archaic way of doing it.
Yeah. Again, efficiencies.
Right. So
and accountability.
And accountability, yes.
Mm-hmm. Right. So I've got a list here. What we have built into the software, which I had to do with the vendor, is every shift the officers have certain key locations they need to check. And then on certain shifts they have to do lockups or unlocks. All that's built into the computer now. So when they get, and it's all geolocation based and GPS based on the iPad. So when they get near a checkpoint, the iPad will actually talk to them. There's a woman's voice that comes on and tells them they're near this, and they can go ahead and mark arrived, and they can do their security check, make any notes. Some of the calls require them to fill out a questionnaire at the end, which captures more data. Some do not. And I'm still in the process of going back to reprogram some of that for our needs. Mm-hmm. But it does force them to capture more information.
Okay.
And then they can clear the call out. They do their lockups. So everything is tracked. There's a map that has all of them.
Yeah.
And it will show the car driving around the community if you want. The dispatchers can utilize that if there's two officers out, critical call that might need a better response. The computer will show them, and if she just he or she just clicks the button nearest, the computer will assign which car is closest to that call.
Perfect.
Instead of them randomly picking one or what have you. So there's a lot of nice features to it. We're still learning it. I've got a running list of some issues or questions. I've already gone back to ABDI to get a couple of things changed, which they've been very responsive right away, including restoring my rights that same day when they finally came back to work. And so I was able to get back on the system. Also, it added not too much more work for me, but it's okay. The biggest thing is downtime on the officers. The graveyard officer had to go in every night, pull up those handheld dispatch cards, read everyone. It's personal preference, so to speak, but they chose what the significant events were, and they had to type up that shift summary log that we send out.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they don't do that anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And if it was a busy night, they could be in there off the street for 45 minutes typing up that log. It's all auto-generated by the computer now. So every morning at 6 a.m., I get two reports emailed to me, auto-generated. And one is basically like what we're using as the shift summary now. It's got the significant cases from the previous 24 hours.
Okay.
Okay.
So then I distribute those as in the past. It's a different format now, but mm-hmm. we don't have the downtime. I don't have the downtime with the graveyard dispatcher filing all those cards and making sure they're in the numerical okay. order and correcting mistakes and doing some data entry input. It's all done by the computer now. So
great.
I think as a few months go right. by and we really see what it can do mm-hmm. and people get used to it and we get some of the bugs worked out.
Great.
We'll be happy. I've had...
Excellent.
I don't think I've really had any negative comments from everybody that's used the system now. Mm-hmm. Both iPads are up and running. They're both deployed on patrol. With our staffing as it is now with the new hire, we've got two officers on during busy times. So with overlap, so we've mm-hmm. been able to alter our patrol staffing. So we've got the devices out in the field being used, and it's just a learning curve, but some of the younger ones are more savvy than some of us other ones.
So the important part is that enhanced services through and accountability right. through efficiencies. So it's you know, it's probably something that maybe communications committee might want to mm-hmm. put out as a summary, you know, a very short summary of enhanced services to the community. Okay, thanks, Chief. Moving on then to item A5, golf cart ATV rules and coordination with RMA.
Okay, so this kind of came up after the ATV made a splashdown on the golf course lake and mm-hmm. the driver was arrested for DUI. About the rules. The incident started on the street, which is covered by RMA rules, but ended up in the lake on the golf course, which is not. So RMA won't enforce that, but the golf course doesn't have any rules that do cover it. So what are we going to do on instances like this in the future? And then there was discussion about that was had the last committee meeting and I think a little bit the board meeting.
Board meeting, right.
At the board meeting, an opinion comment was made about certain types of golf carts, and that was exaggerated
and reported
in the River Valley Times, which right. spurred a big discussion on social media, and which we were kind of prepared for a mm-hmm. lot of public here, because even on social media, hey, go to the security committee.
Right.
So two things. Our general manager asked me to write a memo about golf cart rule enforcement between RMA jurisdiction and country club jurisdiction. So I did.
That's included.
And this
here.
Is this memo here that we then brought to the committee for informational purposes. The second thing was last Thursday or Friday we met?
Thursday.
Mark and I had a meeting with the general manager and the
at the club.
Maintenance supervisor mm-hmm. and the green supervisor at the country club, mm-hmm. kind of regarding this issue, but then some other issues they've had. Mm-hmm. And some of the things that came out of that meeting are going to be moved forward to your general manager's meeting, correct? Some of the questions and issues they had.
Yes.
Or president's meeting. Or
president's meeting, right.
Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm. So really what we're just focusing on, and the public's not here, certainly we'll discuss this again at the board meeting, but it's two distinct entities with distinct rules, mm-hmm. but a securities involvement is only with RMA.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what it basically amounts to. You can have a golf cart leave their house, drive through RMA roads, which are subject to RMA rules, and once mm-hmm. they cross the boundary onto country club property, RMA rules no longer apply. They're bound by country club rules.
Allegedly.
No.
Well, do you know
statutorily.
Do you know that Razor went on RMA roads? Because I heard it went directly onto the golf course.
This is a general discussion. This okay. is a general
yeah,
discussion.
Yeah, like general practice.
Right.
Like
general discussion.
The scenario. That's right. not this.
I know, I was just wondering about that, because I heard it never even went on the road.
It got out of their garage and ended up on the golf course somehow. And that was the theory, is because the day before
it's adjacent. That's why I was wondering. Yeah. That's what I heard.
Because the night before they were racing the streets.
This is a general discussion.
This has nothing to do with.
Sorry, I misinterpreted.
Yeah. Right. This is more just a
that was
to be clear on jurisdictional responsibility.
Right. That kind of started this,
Current.
And then it went in another conversation. So, just to for public education board, it's mm-hmm. where the jurisdictional, because people don't know or understand. Country Club has their rules about personal golf carts used on their property. And we learned there's different colored stickers now for different levels of membership. We just learned that. And how they handle that. Once they cross the threshold and vice versa, the rules don't apply, but then RMA rules do kick in again. So we know where the boundaries are to the property. So our guys under CCNR and the authority and everything have enforcement ability to write violations for golf cart instances on RMA property or RMA controlled areas. Country Club, we do not. And the Country Club understands that and really didn't have an issue with golf cart stuff. It's the same issues they always have, people trespassing on the club.
Non-members on the pathways.
Yeah, which is the trespassing. That's the same. Most common calls we get to the Country Club property, meaning the golf courses, are people trespassing. They've had some issues with people driving onto the golf courses and causing damage. Because of open gates, and that's something that they're going to talk about at a different meeting that really wasn't for me to deal with. But really, they don't have a lot of problems, and they handle their own rule violations internally with their members and guests. So we don't get involved with their rules. We get involved with disturbances and crime, like trespassing, which is technically a crime. So that's what this memo tried to illustrate, is you got two different entities, two different jurisdictional boundaries and responsibilities, and where does security fall into that?
Right, and the intent of the memo was just to identify what the issues are and what the current jurisdictions are at this time.
Correct.
For a basis of community knowledge and the common knowledge between the entities, all right? And so, you know, it's just intended to lay out what the circumstances are right now.
Yeah. So, for more information for Tom, in my discussion with Denise, the interim GM at RMA yesterday, we had had a discussion with the Country Club about how we used to, I guess years ago, there used to be registration of RMA behind the gates golf carts and an actual sticker.
Low-speed vehicles.
No,
that's the RMA.
There's I guess a long time ago there was some process, and that fell out of
use.
At some point years ago. I don't know why. Jeff doesn't know why. And so the question I posed to Denise, to query the compliance committee on, is there a desire to reinstate that registry and make it mandatory? And really with the thought of, unless it's mandatory, let's not go through the exercise. You know, if we're not going to use it as an enforcement tool or as Jeff says, if there's an abandoned cart, like someone joyrides in it, then we can identify who it belongs to, that sort of thing. There is some benefit to enforcement, but if it's going to be done haphazardly, it's not going to be as
effective. That's probably why I felt the clerk crashed.
And it may be.
Time.
And so just to get take the temperature of the compliance committee of RMA to see where you guys, are you interested? If so, great.
Yeah, we should discuss it.
But let's be serious about it. And if not, then let's not.
So in preparation for
on that
today's meeting, having public, and this is just, we don't have to get into this, but I brought RMA's rules, and it is still on the books as a rule that golf carts shall be registered with RMA, just like shall have a barcode.
And it
was
really
so long ago, nobody.
Vehicles.
Yeah, and nobody knows why. It's so long ago that nobody knows why. It's just one of those things. The yellow sticker comes from us.
Mm-hmm.
It's just an identification sticker. Remember back when a kid used to go to the fire station
sticker.
And get a bicycle?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Same thing.
License. Yeah.
If it's found, we can trace it back to where it lives. And then the RMA code just refers to the vehicle code definitions of what a
low speed. Need a yellow sticker. So if registration was required of everyone, there'd be a registration sticker instead of a yellow
sticker. And that would probably go into our system.
Yeah.
So either way. But
but just an option that's available out there.
Mm-hmm. So it was more, this memo is more for informational purposes.
Yeah.
Just one question.
Yes.
You talk about registration required of all. I assume you're only talking about RMA.
Correct.
Okay.
Yes.
Now,
in the CC,
people, there's property, that might be a difference.
There's a difference.
Right.
Just behind the gates, RMA on their code requires golf carts to be registered with RMA.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That wouldn't apply to you guys.
Right. No.
But the CSD for the entire district
has
a yellow identification sticker,
which is
free.
Mm-hmm.
And you put it on your cart, and then that registers the cart back to your address.
Okay.
So that would apply to the village,
okay.
Our registration sticker.
Okay.
And that's an effort to, you know, in case it's lost or stolen or anything else, it's identification.
Because you don't have a license plate on there. So.
Or you run a stop sign.
Doesn't have anything to do with enforcement, yeah.
Seems like at the earlier discussion, somebody brought up the possibility of requiring that, but everybody was in the district.
No,
I don't recall that. All right, so anyway, the idea for this memo was just community information and public information, and you know, all our committee packages are published on the website, and so this information is available to anybody in the community. All right. It's a little bit different than RMA, which has just publishes their packages only to the board members. Okay, are we done on that one then?
Yes.
Moving on to item A6, speeding delivery vehicles in the community, and a brief explanation.
I think this was just carried over from last month. We discussed this, and I think it was a comment at the board meeting by another board member.
Mm-hmm.
And the answer was, which is what did come out of the committee meeting last month, is the we now have a separate account in ABDI logging vendor vehicles, which will make it a little bit easier to track for enforcement purposes, and then
mm-hmm.
sending that over to RMA instead of logging them under a residence
mm-hmm.
address, which ultimately would cause the resident to be responsible for what this vendor or delivery driver
mm-hmm.
may do. This way RMA can go directly to the company.
And that's a general services vendor versus a specific vendor
right.
to a specific property. Yeah.
Right.
Right. Okay.
FedEx, UPS.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Landscaping.
Mm-hmm.
Pool service too, right?
Yeah.
Stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, guys, people that are going to multiple addresses.
Yeah.
School buses, we actually had a school bus speeding last week.
Mm-hmm.
I can't remember if they got it on radar or not. I remember reading something, but
mm-hmm.
yeah. Elk Grove School District should be getting a call.
All right. All right, if that's all for that agenda item, on to item number A7, Joint Security Committee update, and I think I sort of jumped the gun on my comments previously.
Yeah, we briefly did.
So we covered that?
Yes.
Okay.
Email went out.
Mm-hmm. All right. Okay, moving on then, any other discussion on that item? Moving on then to Director Staff and Comments. I believe this meeting has been freeform enough that we've had those comments during the meeting, and so there's no other comments. I will move to adjourn. I'll second the motion, and we are adjourned.
This is the one time that I could have actually said aye, and it would have meant something.
Did you?